Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of the mockers. But his delight in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever does he prospers, whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked; they are like chaff, and in the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. All right, kids are invited to go with Miss Joanne and Miss Amelia to Children's Church. Looks like you're going to have to catch them, though. All right, well, let's pray as we come to God's Word together. Lord, we thank you for this chance to be together as your people and to study your word together, to worship you, to pray, to sing songs of praise. It is good to be in your presence. So as we gather today, may the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of each one of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, those who have been part of our Crescendo Sunday School class the last few weeks already know about our acronym SPICES, which is what we will be digging into the next two Sundays. So we'll take on the first three today, the SPY part, and then next week we'll talk about the SIS part. But yeah, because life needs spices, right? As Tracy is the walking example. The pumpkin spice is my favorite season shirt with the matching mug and creamer and phone backdrop. Yes, it is all in sync. So whether pumpkin spice is your spice or whether you prefer cinnamon or cumin or curry, there's a lot of different spices out there. I'm not going to list them the rest of this sermon. You get it. The more salient point today is the acronym itself. And so it begins with the spiritual. Now again, this whole series, Crescendo, is about aging. It is about how we take whatever the next step is in our life with God and in order to flourish, right? So again, if you're 12 years old, you're aging. If you're 90 years old, you're aging. If you're anywhere in between, you're aging. We're all going in the same direction with time, unless we are out in space going a certain speed and relative time starts to take over. But that's not where any of us are right now. But these are six aspects of life that we need to focus on, think about, and invest in as we age, as we take the next steps throughout life. So the spiritual life, we need to invest in our own spirit. We need to think and spend time nourishing our own spiritual lives and our spirits. The physical, the body. We have to invest in our own bodies because it is the vessel in which we live. And to whatever, however it depends on us, we are stewards of our bodies and the physical space that we occupy. The intellectual, our minds. We need to invest in our minds, our intellectual life. We need to continue learning, continue growing, reading, stretching. We need community. We need to invest in our communal life and our emotional life. Our heart, we need to invest in as well. And then the final S of the spices is we need to be service-centered. How are we giving? How are we serving others as we move into the next phase of life? Because the way you serve others may change over time. Now, if you're somebody who's like Superman, like Jimmy Carter, you can just continue building houses into your 90s because apparently, you know, he can do that. most people end up doing something else service-wise as they get older. But if you continue to build houses, then you keep building houses, right? What are you going to do with your hands? So you can see how this applies at any age, right? We need to invest in all six of these areas. Today I'm talking about the spirit, body, and mind because, I don't know, intellectual just has this sort of vibe to it that I know most of you don't consider yourselves intellectuals per se, but you all have a mind, right? You all have a brain. And so I don't want us to be intimidated by the word intellectual because you don't have to be an intellectual to invest in your intellectual life. It just means you're investing in your mind, your intellect, your smarts, your smart brainness, your good words. It was a bad joke. You were right to not laugh. The follow-up joke was better. Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you. So we're going to dig into those first three today, and then next week we're going to dig into the last three. So we're going to start with the spirit. We're in church, so we have to start with the spirit. Right? We have to start with our spiritual lives. Psalm 1, which Addison read for us, in verse 2 has this line. It says, I'll just read the whole thing. Blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law day and night. Blessed are those who meditate on his law day and night. Meditating on scriptures, meditating on God's word day and night sounds like a difficult task because I got other stuff to do besides be meditating. Because when we hear the word meditate, we think about stillness, right? And often meditation does require stillness. The Hebrew word meditate there's a couple different words, but the word in this particular passage is haga. Can anybody say that with me? Haga. That's right, haga. And it literally means what it sounds. It means to moan or to murmur. So what the passage is telling us to do is to moan, to murmur on his law day and night so that there's this hum, this moan, this groan that is oriented towards God, that is somehow in the background guiding every moment of our lives. So it may not be up in our mind where we're thinking about it, right? But somewhere in us, let's call it our spirit. In our spirit, we are meditating on God day and night. Now, sometimes that requires beginning your day with some very concerted and intentional silent meditation, prayer, right? Where a time where you get on track and headed in that right direction. And you pray that carries you throughout the day. And maybe you need a little refresher here and there. Oh, 30 seconds of quiet to just remember, oh yes, I am here because God put me here. Or whatever it is you need to tell yourself to remind you that God is with you. How about this? God is with me. That's a good one. I am here because God is here. But the psalmist speaks about meditating on his law day and night. It's not something that we can practically do very often. You can go on a retreat and you can spend every waking hour focusing on prayer, but for the most part, we have to figure out ways to let the Spirit simmer while we go about the acts that we need to accomplish throughout our day. Obviously, the New Testament talks about the spiritual life a lot as well. Colossians chapter 3 is this wonderful passage where the Apostle Paul says to the church, Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. So it's like we somehow build a house for Christ's message to live in. That's kind of what the church is. Beautiful image. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Singing psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts, giving glory to God. These are spiritual practices. And some of us are naturally drawn to those spiritual practices. Like me, as you can probably tell, I like music. I like to play music. I like to sing. This is something that has always drawn me to God. Some people don't like to sing. Some people hate the sound of their own voice. Some people are scared that other people will hate the sound of your voice. Some, you know, it's just whatever. It's not your favorite. Some people, though, are just too cool for school. That's right. And just think that singing is lame. Or these songs are lame. And at any age, you can feel like, hey, these songs are lame, and I'm not going to sing them, right? We can dig in our heels. It's not just a teenager thing. There is something about giving ourselves over to potential embarrassment by singing. There's something about giving ourselves over to being in a room full of people who are all embarrassing themselves by singing out loud. Or who are really good at singing out loud, and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't know blank blank could sing like that. That's beautiful. Somehow we all come together, and hey, it doesn't sound too bad. And guess what? You're part of it. Even if you think you're the worst voice in the choir, you're part of it. And it's not because selfishly I need to hear everybody's voice, like, oh, if I don't hear everybody sing, it's going to make me upset, or I'm going to wag a finger at you. But it does something to our spirits to sing psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. There is a relinquishing that happens. And you don't have to sing every song every time, right? I'm not like shaming anybody here. I'm just saying that this is part of a spiritual practice. And that's why we are one of the only groups of people that like to come together and sing almost every time that we get together. Because it's good for our spirits. So our spiritual lives need investing in. And getting back to this idea of the moaning and the meditating on the law of Christ, it's been said that the Spirit, God, is the grounding bass note of our lives. It brings the low end. There's a lot of treble in the world, but God brings the low end grounding hum that's behind every bit of it. This is why we need to invest in our spiritual lives. The second area of life we need to invest in as we move ahead and move forward in our lives is our physical body. Again, Psalm 1, blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked. Walking in step with the wicked would be something I do with my body, right? I can't walk without my body. It's very hard to do that. Watch me walk. I can walk backwards. I've been practicing. Blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked. Walking, we call it often shorthand living the Christian life. We call it walking. Like, how is your walk with Jesus, right? Because it is an active bodily thing. It's something that we do. We go out into the world. We represent Christ. We walk. So blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take. Again, standing, that's also a very physical act. I'm standing here. or who sit in the company of mockers. My freshman college English teacher, this was his favorite psalm. He loved to talk about this first verse of Psalm 1 because he loved talking about the company of mockers, or in the translation we were using at the time, it was the seat of scoffers. And he had a pretty good idea of where the seat of scoffers was as an English teacher in college. And it was usually in the back, maybe in the corner, where the people would...
This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. This class is lame. When's lunch? This is where the scoffers sit.
You may call it the peanut gallery. Anybody heard of the peanut gallery? All right. My mom used to talk about the peanut gallery. I've never been there, but I've heard it's funny. All right. They are, okay, so the ones who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law day and night, verse 3, they are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. They're like a tree planted by streams of water. So we're not walking in with the wicked. We're not standing in the way of sinners. We're not sitting in the seat of scoffers, but we're planted by streams of water where God can give us life. We are somehow in our bodies to give glory to God. Again, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about what it is to follow God with our bodies and why it is important. He says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit?" Temples of the Holy Spirit. "Who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." The Old Testament calls us to honor God with our bodies. The New Testament calls us to honor God with our bodies. And we who want to be called righteous, which Psalm 1 is all about being righteous. It's like there's two kinds of people, the righteous and the wicked. We want to be on the righteous side, right? We want to be on the righteous side. So to be righteous, we need to walk, live, stand, be planted, and grow. Our righteousness is judged by our actions, which take place in our bodies. So we are called to care for these temples, right? We are temples of the Holy Spirit. Like any temple, it can become an idol, right? We can, you may know somebody who's at the gym three times a day and talking about their next diet constantly, who maybe have taken the temple thing overboard and have turned it into an idol. Most of us are not in danger of doing that. Most of us are more in danger of just, it's just a vessel. The only thing that really matters is God. And while that may be true, what matters is God. He has called us to care for this particular temple. Nobody besides myself can care for my own temple, my own body. We'll get back to this in a moment. But the third area of life that requires investment as we go through life is our mind. So there's this meditating on the law day and night, which is not an intellectual thing. It's more of a spiritual practice, right? It's the hum of God living in us. But then there's also a very intellectual thing, delighting in the law of the Lord. Delighting in the law of the Lord. I spoke recently with someone who the scriptures recently took hold of their life. Like they just said, "Oh, I'm just going to start reading." And 5 months later, 4 months later, they had read the whole thing, cover to cover. I said, "I bet there's people at Bretton Woods who have never read the Bible cover to cover who have been Christians forever. And here you are, you've read it in 5 months. It's not necessarily a contest, but I just, it's like the voraciousness that sometimes God takes a hold of us and we delight in his law. We just want to know what happens next. What does he have next to say to me? We delight in the law of the Lord. This is what a righteous person does. Doesn't mean you have to read the whole thing in 5 months, but are you drawn to it in some way? Is there some point in your life where you're like, oh, I'm just thirsty for God's word right now? What does God have to say about what's going on in life right now? The author of Hebrews talks about caring for the mind as well. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. We don't know who the author of the Hebrews is, but they're taking these readers to task. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. There is a caring for the mind that is required for a life of faith, where we don't just continue to learn surface level things, the same things over and over again, but we become mature and fully acquainted with the teaching, and it says in here, the teaching about righteousness, so that, not so that we can puff our brains up and get them really big and so we can talk smart words, but so that we can live righteously, right? This is the whole point of knowing more about the word and knowing more about God, is so that we can live righteously. And so it is important, it is essential for us to care for our minds. And part of maturity, according to Hebrews also, is the ability to distinguish good from evil, which is something we need to cultivate in our minds. Because it's not always as clear as we would like it to be, what is good and what is evil, and what is this good thing and this good thing, or this is 90% good and 10% evil, right? It'd be nice if everything came with a label, right? But it doesn't. And so we need to care for our minds. We need to continue to seek the wisdom of God. So, three filters, the spirit, the body, and the mind, three areas that we all need to focus on, we all need to invest in, and we all make decisions in life based on our spirit. We all make decisions in life based on our body. We make decisions in life based on our minds. We are always living our lives. And these three, whether we are doing it intentionally or not, are guiding the way we live. Again, Psalm 1 is about righteousness and wickedness. And it ends with, "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will be destroyed." There is a way of living in righteousness that will be watched over by God forever. The ways in which we live righteously, those deeds will somehow continue to live. When we do good deeds, they live and they continue to live. But the way of the wicked will be destroyed. The wickedness, the laziness, the greed, the sloth, the envy, the selfishness, the gluttony, the pride. The ways of the wicked will be destroyed. One day, all of those burdens will be destroyed. They will exist no more, right? There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and God will bring things to right. Don't we want to invest in the practices that will live forever? Don't we want to do things now that we will be doing in eternity? Don't we? Some of us have the expectation that eternity is going to be way different than regular life. But I think the practices we cultivate now, the life that we cultivate now, we will continue to live into eternity, but just better and more. And, you know, without all the distractions of sin and pain and evil and brokenness. It matters what we do now. So the way of righteousness means making choices to live righteously, right? Spiritual choices, bodily choices, intellectual choices, but we need to choose to live righteously. And I think we do that in two ways. I'm just going to use two words to help us pursue the way of righteousness. And the first is exercise. We need to exercise faith in the spirit, the body, and the mind. How many people like exercise? I ran a long way yesterday, and my legs are telling me that that was a long way that you ran yesterday. Exercise isn't always fun. But we need exercise. Our spirits need exercise. We don't meditate day and night on accident. Some of us maybe do. But it requires a practice, an intentionality. We need the law of the Lord to be written on our hearts in order for it to hum through our lives all the day. And for it to be written on our hearts, we need to spend time reading it. And to spend time reading it, we need to carve out time and maybe watch less Netflix or whatever it is we need to do. We have to exercise our spirits. Our bodies the same way. Right? It may not be jogging for you. It might be swimming. It might be walking. It might be breathing. It might be standing a certain way. It might be, I don't know what it is. But we all need to care for our bodies as far as we can. Right? And I know you may deal with injuries, limitations, and all sorts of things, but with whatever you have, to care for it. And think about what it is you put into your bodies and all these sort of things, these questions that we don't want to ask because food tastes really good, especially the unhealthy stuff. But there is a way to care for ourselves and live in joy. All about moderation. Okay. Got to exercise. And we have to exercise our minds. Reading books. Listening to books. Reading scripture. Having conversations with somebody you respect who you know has a lot of wisdom that you can learn from. A way to exercise our mind. There's a lot of ways to do it. And there's a lot of resources. I mean, obviously we live in the information age where we literally could find out pretty much anything that has been discovered with the click of a button. There's not a lot of excuses for not exercising our minds other than being completely and utterly overwhelmed by the fact that we have access to every answer we could want to look for. So we got to exercise. I'm going to use one more word in addition to exercise, and that is practice. We also have to practice faith in spirit, body, and mind. We have to exercise our spirit, but we also need to practice our faith spiritually. Now, practice and exercise might sound the same. If you're on a team, you have practice, you're exercising, right? Here's the distinction I'm making. Exercising is the training. We need to train, exercise our spirit, body, and mind. Practice is doing it. Ask any physician what they do. Even though it seems pretty definitive and pretty well informed, what do they call it? Practice. They call it practice. Why? Because they don't have all the answers. I mean, they may not want you to know that. But it continues to be a practice, and it is a body of work that continues to grow and grow and grow over history. Practice doesn't mean just preparation for something that's coming later. Practice is being in the game. Spiritual practices are things like silence, things like meditation, things like reading the word slowly. There's a lot of practices that we think of when we think of, but when I think of practicing the spiritual life, is when the spiritual life actually gets into the other areas of our lives too. It's when spending time with God alone or spending time with God nurturing my spirit actually starts to take over my decision making. And so I have more patience with somebody who's driving me insane because I have invested in my spiritual life. And guess what? They're not driving me insane anymore because, well, yeah. But somebody who normally would drive me insane, who would normally annoy me to pieces because I've been invested in my spiritual life, well, somehow, oh, I guess that doesn't, it's like I'm able to shake it off. It's like that's not as important to me, the fact that they don't know how to do that. It doesn't bother me as much as it used to. So practice, and practice in our body. Well, that's when we start to look like a tree planted by streams of water. When we are living an embodied faith out in the world, where from the top of our head to the tips of our toes, we are out in the world living a life of faith. And a practiced mind, wisdom and discernment being put into practice because we've invested in nurturing our minds. Again, all of these things may look different as life goes on. There may be seasons in life we have to reevaluate. It's easiest to see with your body, right? Physical limitations come at us whether we want them to or not, right? What I used to be able to do with my body, I can no longer do. That's a different thing. And so now I have to figure, what does it mean to care for it? What does it mean to practice my faith in my body now? But it goes the same for our mind, and it goes the same for our spirit. It goes in seasons. So what does it mean to live a life of faith in the spirit? What does it mean to live a life of faith in the body and in the mind as we move ahead together? Now, next week, we're going to talk about three more areas. The sizz of the spices, right? And we're going to continue to explore what it is we need to be mindful of and investing in as we move through the next phases of life. Let's pray. God, you have called us to righteousness, to a way of living that is good and faithful. Your vision for us is as fruit-bearing trees, so that whatever we do, we get to see the fruits of that labor. So God, today, may we exercise, may we train our spirits, our minds, and our bodies, that we might go out into the world and practice our faith, an embodied faith, a wise faith, a spirit-filled faith. And we thank you that all this is a gift from you, that it is all grace that enables us to do any of this. So Lord, may your Spirit grant us grace today. Grace to do things that we never thought on our own we could accomplish, and we could not accomplish on our own. But because of you, we can. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.